Blog Talk Radio.
Concentrate on these things, things that are healthy, things that are pure, things that will fulfill life expectancy rather than deplete it. Thereby, you shall live abundantly. You shall be well. You shall be made whole in every area of your life. It's going to take some effort on your behalf. It's not just going to happen. There are some things you will have to resist. There are things you will want to embrace that gives life. First, you must turn from the old and accept the new. Yah makes everything brand new, even you and even me. Side note, consent to me, Spiritual Assembly, Blog Talk Radio. I am Sister Rithonia, and the emphasis is on healing. Healing. It's on focusing on your health, your state of health, and what it will take to restore your present state to the original state that the Most High had intended for us. There's plenty of research available that we need to take advantage of and begin to seek out it and inquire about different things going on around us and why different things are affecting our life. Then you begin your recovery by putting those things, what you discover, into action. A lot of sickness are brought upon us because of the things that we are not aware of. Anything that you are putting in you, on you, if it's not healing and strengthening and helping you, then it's doing just the opposite. Natural health, holistic health supplements, I strongly recommend. I strongly suggest you may take the time to do this research for yourself, because there are natural supplements available for you. The word tells us there's nothing that can come upon us that he hasn't already provided a way out for us. Are you getting enough vitamins? Because in the food, if you're only relying on the food supplements, you're not getting enough vitamins. So you're going to need to make sure that your body is functioning to the full extent. Make sure you have your vitamin research. Shows that a lot of people are very lax in vitamin D, and that's a plus. Vitamin plus D. We need that vitamin D. You get it every way that is possible, from the sun, from the supplements. You want to make sure that you're getting enough vitamin D. Now, on that heaven's healing, I'm going to continue. We're still on that. Everything that comes forth here is about heaven's healing. The joy of the Yahweh is your strength, according to Nehemiah 8 and 10. There is a physiological truth that we need to consider. In the scripture, a merry, rejoicing heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22, and our brains feed on, as we can eat foods that steal from our bodies, like sugar. We can also think thoughts that steal from our bodies, like anger. We can choose what we think, and in doing so, we choose between health and disease. Negative thoughts are extremely powerful. An example of this can be found in what science calls the neuro. They call it the nocebo effect. That's it. That's what they call it, the nocebo effect, which is a response in the body that is caused only from the belief or suggestion for when otherwise it is not. According to the Journal of the American Medical Association, nocebos contribute to a host of ills. For instance, in the Framingham Heart Study, women who believed they were prone to heart disease were nearly four times as likely to die as women with similar risk factors who didn't believe. Redford Williams, MD, author of the book Anger Kills, wrote, "Getting angry is like taking a small dose of some slow-acting poison every day of your life. Anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, all tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and death." Academy of an Illness by Norman Cousins describes his recovery from anguishing, spondylitis, okay, a disease of unknown pathology, with a survival chance of 1 in 500. In a desperate bid to survive, Cousins rejected his drug therapy, hired a projector, and amused himself watching old comedy movies. He was following a hunch he had acquired from reading Dr. Haynes Taylor's book, The Stress of Life, and his changed state of mind, helped by laughter, improved diet, and his own determination was the turning point from which he recovered full health in a few months. It has been said that a hearty laugh a day may keep the doctor away. Laughter has innumerable benefits. It increases blood flow as much as a 15 to 30 minute workout. It proves a potent anti-stress factor. Diseases, asthmatic attacks, increases stamina, relieves arthritis pain, and promotes good sleep. Also, since the serotonin levels go up after laughter, it is an effective antidote to depression. Studies show that even breastfed babies with eczema experience milder symptoms in their mother's last hours before feeding them. If their mother's last hours before feeding them. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart have continual peace. That's according to Proverbs 15 chapter. Cheerfulness is created by considering the great blessings we enjoy as children of Yahweh. We can also gain happiness through the pleasure of blessing others. Always, the first step to the transition is the most difficult. So choosing to put on a smile and behave happy will help this to become reality. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I hope you got out there to vote yesterday. If not, you still have time. And if you don't make the early voting, please be sure to be out there for the November the 8th election, because we don't want to have that unless you're in favor of having a KKK ruler member descendant of connection, someone that is connected to rule over our United States of America. And if you're in favor of that, then I really feel for you. I really do. But if you want to see change, then be a part of that change, because we have to show up in big numbers and let your voice be heard. You can't complain or say anything about what's going on, have anything to say about it, contrary, if you're not being a part of trying to correct the situation. You do nothing, you say nothing, that makes you a part of what's going on. So if you don't want to be a part of the things, you be the change that you want to see. You be the change that you want to bring forth. Then you can hold whoever is elected, those that you stand for, you hold them accountable, and you inquire about what it is that they're doing and how it is going to affect and what it is that you expect from them. You got to get to know. Study the Constitution of the United States Amendment. You need to know those. And so you have to be able to stand on the Constitution Amendment of the United States. You have to be able to, in order to do that, you have to be aware of them. Now, I'm going to talk about the weather. Who controls the weather? Because that's something I'm hitting on a couple things this morning on this day, this brand new day that our Father, Abba, has made and granted us the gift of life that we may dwell in it, okay, and intervening creator. Most politicians, farmers, merchants, and weather forecasters leave out of the picture the one who controls the weather. They forget the creator God who intervenes in his creation from time to time. Remember Noah's flood? Of course, not every thunderstorm is from God's direct intervention. But natural laws guide such weather patterns. And sometimes, Yah allows Satan to control the weather. Okay? Go to Job, first chapter, verse 12 and 19. But the Bible reveals that there are definite times when God himself intervenes in the weather earlier to bless or curse God himself intervenes in the weather either to bless or curse certain nations. When ancient Israel turned aside from Yah, how did he respond? I blasted you with blight and mildew from too much rain. When your gardens increased, your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees, the locusts devoured them, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Amos chapter 4, verse 9. The same Yah who sank nations and empires in centuries past is still very much in charge. He says, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Malachi 3 and 6. The word of Yah makes it clear that if the British Commonwealth and American people do not repent of their personal and national sins and return to Yah, he will punish us with flood, drought, famine, earthquakes and disease, epidemics such as we have never known, nor even imagined. Each of us individually needs to seek Yah in a way we have never done before. Many in the U.S. are unaware that Europe has experienced severe drought in many years. The heat that led to as many as 35,000 deaths across Europe during the summer of 2003 lowered the craters to levels not seen in a generation or more. The summer of 2005 saw Portugal experiencing its worst water crisis in 300 years, while Spain underwent its driest year since World War II. Across France, water restrictions have been imposed for more than half the country. One unexpected consequence of the drought appearing in southern France of swarms of locusts, which are more common in Africa and have attacked broad swaths of farmland, reported by writer John Taglebu of the New York Times on July 18, 2005. Truth is that present and prophesied monster floods and droughts are going to so vastly increase the potential for polluted water, malaria-carrying mosquitoes, and other sources of disease. Our licentious lifestyles will continue to increase the incidence of modern plagues such as AIDS, syphilis, and other sexually transmissible diseases. And even if medical science can time or if they contain or cure some of these diseases, other more virulent plagues will undoubtedly take their place in the years ahead. Eventually, our hospitals, already under great financial strain and space constraints, will simply be unable to cope with the disease epidemic that the Bible says will occur. For as we saw earlier in the parallel scripture, there will be great earthquakes, and in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven, according to Luke 21, verse 11. Because of our mounting sins, these calamities are destined to strike that America and British peoples probably within this generation. As explained in our very informative booklet, The United States and the Great Britain of Prophecy, the United States and the British descended peoples are among those identified as Israel. Bible prophecy, all true Christians have inherited the promises due to spiritual Israel. But most professing Christians do not realize that Yah also promised physical blessings to Abraham, which were passed to his grandson, Ephraim, Manasseh, the ancestors of as remnants of the so-called lost 10 tribes of Israel, which also include the modern people of many Northwestern European nations. Those people have been greatly blessed, but as they squander the blessing and adopt increasingly immoral lifestyles, they are going to be severely punished for their own good by a loving God who wants to wake them up before this national tree proceeds too far. That's according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. And amazingly, truth is a key to prophecy and can be proved from the pages of your Bible. If you would like to learn more about this fascinating topic, I suggest you may be able to. It says it wants you to please, if you want to know more, you may phone or write the regional office closest to you listed in the back of this book. And I'll get to that and I'll tell you what it is. Ask for your free copy of this Vitality Important booklet, The United States and Great Britain Prophecy. The name of the book is The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. It will be sent to you absolutely free with no cost or obligation and will be a big help in your study of Bible prophecy. Write for it today. Order it online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. Now, there's something else I'm going to get to today. So I'm moving right along, and I'm going to put off playing another clip right now because this seems to be, I like to say, relevant to the time and era that we are currently in. Right now, this is going to be, what I'm going to talk about is about Halloween. Halloween, a celebration of evil. We trust an unfamiliar observer. No, wait a minute. Let me go back to that and start that on what it says here. Okay. Halloween, it says, what must an unfamiliar observer think of Halloween? Parents dress their children as monsters, vampires, devils, witches, ghosts, and encourage strangers to ask them for candy and other treats. Homeowners decorate the houses with images of black cats, ghosts, goblins, and carved pumpkins, and sometimes transform their yards into make-believe graveyards. Adults dress in similar strange and outlandish costumes and go to parties and rooms decorated with dungeons or crypts. Why are such bizarre practices so popular? Why would anyone celebrate a holiday emphasizing that morbid and that morbid and macabre? Where did such strange customs originate? As the Christmas and Easter, we can trace the roots of Halloween far back into the pagan past. The Encyclopedia of Religion says Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, is a festival celebrated on 31 October. The evening hour of the Christian feast of All Saints, All Saints Day. Halloween is the name for the eve of Samhain, pronounced Samhain. A celebration as well as the first day of the new year within the ancient Celtic culture of the British Isles. The time of Samhain consisted of the eve of the feast and the day itself, 31 October and 1st November. Okay. Besides Halloween, the Celts observed many other holidays, including the winter solstice, later transformed into Christmas, spring fidelity, rite, reformed later as Easter, and May Day as a harvest festival. Concerning Halloween, the Encyclopedia of Religion continues, on this occasion, it was believed that the gathering of supernatural forces occurred as during no other period of the year. The eve and day were characterized as a time when the barriers between the human and the supernatural worlds were broken. Otherworldly entities, such as the souls of the dead, were able to visit earthly inhabitants, and humans could take the opportunity to penetrate the domains of the gods and supernatural creatures. Scholarly tributes and sacrifices of animals, crops, and possibly human beings were made to appease supernatural powers who controlled the fidelity of the land. Samhain acknowledged the impact of non-human forces that roamed the earth during the period. On this holiday, huge bonfires were set on hilltops and frightened away evil spirits. The souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and the autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, hobgoblins, black cats, and fairies, demons of all kinds said to be roaming around. It was a time to placate the supernatural powers controlling the processes of nature. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divination concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day of which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. I'm out of time now. Garden of Gethsemane, Spiritual Assembly. This is Sister Rosonia, and I hope to share with you again that the Most High shall will and shall guide. Air will be on Wednesday, 6 a.m. Wednesday. Until then, stay blessed, stay focused, be conscious, be observant, right? And keep moving forward. Peace and blessings. Shalom.